Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Hey, what's going on? This is Thomas Nicholas. Welcome to the Metal Groove with your host, Tombstone, Josh.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. My name is Josh, and you guys are locked into the Thrill Me Podcast Network right here on all of your streaming platforms. I don't know which one it is you're listening from, but we greatly appreciate you hanging out. Please hit that like and subscribe button while you're here. Any support that my little show can get, man, I am so appreciative of, man. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Speaking of the Thrill Me Podcast Network, you can check out all of our shows that we have on the channel right there on our YouTube channel. You can find the links for that on our Facebook page, on our Instagram, TikTok, all of those things right now. So many great shows, whether it's the Review It Rob Show, Haunters Podcast. There is a plethora of awesome content happening over there on the YouTube channel. In addition to this show right here you're listening to right now, man. So I'm back. It's been a little while since I recorded an episode, but it's been busy, man. It's been absolutely busy. But just going back to the Thrill Me Podcast Network for a second, I just want to give a shout out to all those guys. They're in Orlando right now. That's right. Yep, they're at Universal. They're at Universal Studios. Checking out HHN. You know, I'm not jealous at all. You know, I don't even care. Just all my buds are hanging out, you know, eating cool food, seeing cool spooky things. All the Halloween stuff. They're probably taking awesome pictures and having awesome shots and having a great time buying awesome merch. It's no big deal. I'm okay with it. I deal with it. And the way I deal with it is drugs, people. I'm just kidding. Completely kidding. It's not drugs. Drugs are bad. Unless that drug is music. And I'm here today to talk music with you all, man. No, I hope all of my friends, my brother, Mr. Review Rob, he's down there with them. I hope they all have a grand time. Please bring me back some voodoo donuts, man. That's all I ask. Maybe a shirt. Not for free. I'll pay for it. No problem. I just want something. Just in case I can't get down there, because I'm a busy fellow. But I really do hope my friends have a great time down there. I can't wait to hear their recaps, which they will be doing on their shows. You know it, man. They're going to have a review of HHN. All of the amazing things that went on down there, man. Make sure you tune in, listen to it. But yes, speaking of music, it being my drug, my band Time and Pressure just got off of like a mini tour, I guess you could say. We played 5 shows in an 8-day span. I personally was a little whipped. My back was not a very happy camper because, you know, other than playing music, I'm also working full time. So very, very busy. Very, very busy guy. Plus trying to be a family man all at the same time. It's chaotic. But it's a controlled chaos, and I enjoy it, and I absolutely love this section of my life that I have going on right now, man. But speaking of the band, we just played a couple shows in Charleston, a couple in Myrtle Beach, and it was a great time, man. I always love hanging out with those people. They are like family to me. They're incredible musicians. They make me better, and I appreciate them so much. But we played this one venue, kind of a new place called Ocean Annie's in Myrtle Beach. It is right on the freaking beach. I mean, you're talking about stage, sand. Stage, lazy river, stage, pool. I mean, the scenery of this place was phenomenal. And I honestly cannot wait to go back up there and play this place again. But not only was the scenery of just the surroundings beautiful, the crowd was amazing. There was tons of people dancing and singing along and having a great time. It really made for an amazing night. They had this thing called a green tea shot. That thing's dangerous. I don't know if you guys have heard of this one yet, but that is a dangerous drink. It was absolutely delicious. And it was exactly what I needed to help me get through that marathon of a night that we had going on, man. But it was a really great time, man. We have 2 more shows coming up this weekend. Another brand new venue for us called Montrose in Somerville, South Carolina. And hey, if you want to keep up with all of the shenanigans that my band has going on, you can check us out. Check all of them out over on the Facebook page, just Time and Pressure SC. And if you're in town, hey, come see us, man. Come say hi. Hang out with us. Sing some songs. Let us know what you want to hear. It's been a big thing lately. People requesting stuff, and we just, hey, give us a second, let us hear it, and we'll go play it. And it's worked out a bunch of times, man. We had a lot of fun. What was this one song? Somebody requested Love Stinks, which is a song I don't know if I've ever heard before. And until we played it, I was like, oh, yeah, that song. And then we whipped it on stage, man. We killed it. It was a lot of fun. I love doing that. I love the random spurts of spontaneous music that happen outside of what a normal set list is. Those are kind of like highlights of the night for me. But great time. Yes, please check out our Facebook page. Come out and see us. Thank you guys so much for the support. Okay, the business is out of the way. I'm done talking about all... Oh, TeePublic store. Make sure you hit up that TeePublic store. The band has a TeePublic store. Throw Me Podcast Network has a TeePublic store. Just throw those in your Google machine and get yourself some merch, man. Get yourself some merch. But anyways, the business stuff is out of the way. And we're moving on to the segment of what this show is going to be about today. And, you know, hey, sometimes as a musician, you want to try new things. You know what I'm saying? And the title of this episode is, hey, Mom, I've taken up beatboxing. And it's kind of like a funny way that I wanted to kind of bring that up. Just kind of put a little funny spin on it. As I'm talking about a new weapon that I've added to my drumming arsenal. And no, it's not another cowbell. Although, I could probably get an extra cowbell now that I think about it. I mean, how many is too many cowbells? Because if you could have double bass and double cowbell going at the same time, that's something to think about. All right, but anyways, I'm getting off topic. Okay, back to the subject at hand. Was I the only one? Was it just me, or did anyone else knock on, maybe slap, maybe pound on their desk when they were in school? I mean, I still obnoxiously do this. Like if I'm at a restaurant or if I'm at the bank or if I'm just anywhere, I'm going to tap on something. I'm going to kind of knock on, you know, just kind of get whatever song is stuck in my head. Or if there's like a rhythm I'm thinking about or maybe like a song idea that I have, I'm tapping or beating or just jamming along to whatever's stuck in my head on any surface. You know, whether it's a table, a damn steering wheel, for crying out loud. I spend 80% of my day in a vehicle, so my steering wheel gets some action. I tell you what, my steering wheel gets more action than, you know what, never mind. But anyways, this is just taking it up to the next level. I went and bought myself a cajon. I went ahead and bought myself a cajon, man. Oh, hey, Mom, I'm a professional beatboxer now. Well, not actually, but anyways. So anyways, what is a cajon? You might be asking yourself that right now, because I wasn't really familiar with them until it was brought to my attention. But what is a cajon? A cajon, which is Spanish for box or crate, is a box-shaped percussion instrument originally from Peru, played by slapping the front or the rear faces with your hands, fingers, sometimes implements such as brushes or mallets. They are sheets of half-inch to three-quarter-inch wood. They're generally used for five sides of the box. The thinner sheet of plywood is nailed on as a sixth side and acts as a striking surface, or like the head of a drum is what that front surface is. The striking surface of the cajon drum is commonly referred to as a tapa. The sound hole is cut in the back side. The modern cajon may have rubber feet and has several screws at the top that are for adjusting, kind of getting the kind of pitch that you want. Kind of like how you would tune the rims of your drums that go over your skins. That's how I kind of see it. That's how I view it. The core design of a cajon is simple but elegant. A wooden box that allows for several different striking zones. Playing close to the edge of the box produces a higher pitch, like a sharper tone, which is perfect to use as like a bat beat, similar to like a snare drum on like a regular drum kit. As you move closer to the center of the front, the tone kind of comes down, like kind of like you're playing across your toms. And then if you get to that middle, that sweet spot, you get a nice thump. That's almost like a bass drum. But you can get, you know, how hard you hit it. You know, you got different kind of scrapes, plucks. You can mute it. You can use open hands. You can kind of cup your hand a little bit, like I was just saying. You can use a fist, kind of. I mean, you don't want to beat this thing up. But you can vary the pitch of the note depending on which part of the hand is used by applying pressure to the wood with one hand or even a foot or hitting it with, you know, anything else. You know, you can kind of like you think bongos, you know what I mean? Like how you kind of just kind of tap on it, you tap all over the place with it. Kind of like the same theory is the way I looked at it going in. All right, so my personal one, the one that I bought, was a Mino Jam cajon. Mostly because of cost. I wasn't really sure how often I was going to use this thing. So I didn't go with the cheapest one. I kind of went with the mid-range one, and it's called a Jam Cajon, made by Meinl. I was already a fan of their cymbals anyways. So I was like, you know what? Let me see what they have. I'll give them the first crack at it. And I picked it up, man. It was delivered incredibly quickly. I got it in 2 days. And I've been messing with it for a little while now, man. It's lightweight. It's birch wood. It's nothing fancy. Like I said, I didn't want to go out because I'm not exactly sure how often I'm going to be using this thing. But it's definitely been a good bang for my buck. So, haha, I got that joke in there. But anyways, I've been pretty impressed with it so far. The tone range is very great. It has some very punchy bass lows. I kind of like the fact that I can just kind of knock on it. And it kind of gives me that perfect tone and like a bass that I want to kind of drive whatever beat I'm going for. But it really has these crisp highs. Like if I go around the edge of it, I'm getting a really good snap. And I appreciate that so much, man. But I've been exploring all over it so far. I've found the sweet spots for my toms. I found the sweet spots for my snare. I kind of like to go right on the edge to kind of like play on, you know, a little bit of a hi-hat bell, maybe a little bit of a cowbell. Just kind of like a clean, very crisp kind of stop sound. So I've been playing with it, man. I've been exploring all over this thing. I'm no expert with it yet. Hell, I'm barely good at regular drums. But it's been a lot of fun so far, man. It's just been a new thing to add to the weaponry, like I was saying. It's cool, man. Like for something that's not been in my wheelhouse or not been on my mind frame, it's something that I've kind of grown adapted to. It's kind of like one of those things you can kind of just pick up, maybe. Like if you're already a drummer or you're already into percussion, you kind of can just pick it up and go with it, man. It's pretty cool. Now, why did I get one of these things? All right, so first off, my band is in high demand. You can't always play places that has a big stage. Maybe sometimes you're going to want to play somewhere that's like a brewery or somewhere that's kind of like reserved and maybe doesn't want a full force electrical thing going on. So my band has started booking acoustic shows. So this is something that I can just add as part of them. You know, we can have a guitarist, a bassist, a singer, and then my dumb behind sitting on top of this box, you know, applying a backbeat to whatever they have going on or just messing around. So that's the first reason and the main reason why I got this thing. Second reason is branching out. I mean, I intend to move on to other instruments. The next goal on my list is going to be keyboard. But as far as keeping it in my wheelhouse of percussion, this is like the next step. You know what I mean? This is just helping me translate into like a softer sound, maybe kind of help build up my hand stamina, maybe. And, you know, it's just cool, man. Like I said, it's opening more doors. It's allowing for more opportunity. And it's a ton of fun to play, man. It just looks cool. But anyways, back to the cajon. A few things that I've picked up so far that I think are important. Posture. Just like in regular drumming, you have got to take care of your back. Your back is like the lifeline of your skeleton. I have a bad habit of hunching sometimes whenever I'm playing. Like whenever I'm in a good groove and I'm just jamming, I will slouch a little bit. But I got to keep it in the back of my mind to stay straight. This is a little bit tougher since you're bending down while you're either sitting on or sitting behind the box to play. Just do what's comfortable for you, but be aware and take care of yourself. That's the first thing I've learned about this instrument so far. So second thing is projecting and amplifying. Now, you don't want to slap or beat up your instrument, man. This is kind of like a very finesse, very accuracy-driven that can help go a long way if you need it. But there's also a hole in the back that you can mic up. So you can have it mic'd up. So depending on how hard you want to hit or how often or how long you're going to be playing your set, you can mic it up. But if you're very heavy-handed, which I don't tend to be, if you're very heavy-handed, I don't think it's needed. It depends on the setting. So you can amplify it. You can mic it if you want to. That's a cool thing that I've learned so far. And I've learned that different areas can take different effects as far as beating. The sides can take a good hit. The front towards the outer edges, they can take some heat. But I wouldn't beat on the middle too much just yet. A fun element that I've learned so far is if you wanted to add a little sizzle to the sound, you can add a shaker. Like if you had a shaker in one hand while you're playing, that kind of adds kind of like a hi-hat fill a little bit while you're playing. I've also learned It's kind of tricky. You got to have some good coordination. But if you can use a tambourine with your foot, that kind of can act as like a back hi-hat as well. Just extra percussion that you can add in, I found is cool, man. But being creative, using your brain space and using the whole box really comes in handy. So just play with it, mess with it, find what feels comfortable for you, find what sounds good to you, and just play with it, man. Sounds kind of dirtier than I intended, but it's what's helped me so far. Last thing I've learned as well is repetition is your friend. The more that you practice and the more that you become familiar with this instrument, the more interesting ways that you can find to play it. Whether it's open hand, like I said earlier, cupped hand, a fist. Don't go punching the damn thing now. It's not a punching bag. But you can use your fist a little bit, like with some good knocking sounds. Or even your foot. Like you can use your heel in there as well on the side. There are so many sounds that you can get out of this thing. It's really, truly remarkable. And I super enjoy it, man. So that is the gist of my new instrument. That is the gist, kind of like an educational show. I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about something I'm learning. I wanted to share that with you guys. And before I dive into the last segment of the show, we're going to take a break real quick, and we're going to play a song, man. So if you have any questions about the Cajon, I'm going to put a little video up on our show, just a really, really short video up on our page of me playing it. And if you guys have any questions about it, or if you're thinking about getting one, or maybe you wanted to just ask me anything about it, man, throw them in those comments below. But crank it up. Let's get to a song right now. Welcome back into the show. That was Hour to Live by the amazing band called Skullfist. Friends of the show over there. My buddy Zach was on the show. Still talk to him occasionally, man. What a great dude. I'm glad they're out there kicking ass because they are really an incredible band. If you're not familiar with Skullfist, check them out. They are awesome. Okay, let's dive into a couple news and notes here. We're going to talk about my favorite news of the week. That I've noticed so far, and just to kind of keep it in the drumming theme so far, Alex Van Halen is being inducted into the Drummer Hall of Fame. He's being honored for his legacy behind the drum kit. Van Halen drummer and co-founder Alex Van Halen has been honored for his contributions to the music world. It's been announced that the 70-year-old musician, yes, 70 years old, man. It's hard to remember that some of these icons, these legends, these heroes, they're getting up there, man. But he is officially the 45th inductee into the Modern Drummers Hall of Fame. Explaining why they've inducted Alex Van Halen, Modern Drummer wrote, "The original drummer and co-founder of Van Halen has left his mark on the entire era of rock music, from his scrappy early days in Mammoth to the glam metal juggernaut we know him as today. After forming several bands with his brother Eddie, Alex Van Halen began his long tenure with Van Halen in 1977 and never looked back. He became instrumental to the band's electrifying, dramatic sound, leading the rhythm section on standout Van Halen hits like Ain't Talking About Love, Unchained, and Panama." And I'll just go ahead and throw my personal favorite, Pound Cake, in there. "His double bass pedal work throughout Hot for Teacher was deeply influential, combining technical prowess with a restless, thoroughly original drum composition. Despite their lineup changes throughout the late 80s and 90s, Alex Van Halen and his brother remained the heart and soul of the band, and his legacy, both behind the kit and in the music world, is inspiring and noteworthy. Alex Van Halen follows last year's Modern Drummer Hall of Fame inductee, the late Foo Fighters legend Taylor Hawkins." Wow. Yeah, props to Alex Van Halen, man. He is one of those drummers, man. Influence galore. He will always and forever be in my top five drummers. You know, just his influence on me, it's tough because some of the things he does, some of the off-timing things he does is so hard to pick up on and so hard to follow. I can't help but be in awe of his style of playing and the sound of his drums. Like, he has a very, very, like, you know when it's Alex Van Halen playing the drums. That's kind of like a great compliment. Kind of like you can hear a certain guitar player and the way they play or how they sound. That's how I feel about Alex Van Halen, man. So props to him. Congratulations. If anybody deserves to be in the Drum Hall of Fame, it is that guy right there, man. One of my favorites. One of my all-time favorites, man. So props to him. Another short little bit of news. POD dropped a new single called, well, look at that. It's called Drop. I've heard it. It's a decent song. Kind of sounds like some of their old school stuff. I do like this new record that they're going to have coming out next year. It's potentially going to be heavy. I'm not going to spoil it just yet, but there's some potential guests that's going to be on this album that are of very heavy influence. So I'm hoping that the album is going to be heavy as well. Another little bit of news that I wanted to touch on, just because I think it's funny, I think it's interesting, but the lead title here is Nickelback is done. They are done with the joke of people not liking them. Thank you very much. The joke of hating Nickelback finally culminated in a new documentary called Hate to Love Nickelback. The documentary just premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival, and according to Nickelback frontman Chad Kroeger, is the final word on the long-running joke, because frankly, Kroeger and the gang are getting a little sick of it. I mean, it has been a long time. I mean, for as long as Nickelback has been around, it blows my mind how they went from a band that did a song like This Is How You Remind Me to just the catalog that they put together. It's kind of like a weird thing. But yeah, people don't like them. And I guess it's kind of like the only thing that I can relate it to is like Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. Like when somebody's really, really successful, for some reason that drives people in the wrong direction. And they just, that's why they choose not to like them. They choose not to like them because of their success. But anyways, I don't hate Nickelback. They're not one of those bands that I despise, nor am I going to go out of the way to listen to any of their songs. I'm just kind of like, I'm on the fence with them. But anyways, according to Kroeger in an interview with People, having people say that they dislike the band right to his face for actual decades is starting to wear thin. Kroeger later notes that any mention of the joke will be an instant end to any interview, which is fair. There's plenty of other stuff to talk about with Nickelback at this point. If somebody stuck that thing in your face every single day and said, the whole world hates you like this, the whole world hates you, what do you have to say about that? Every single day, every day, would there be reluctance on your behalf to talk about it? Would you get pissed off? Would you be over it after a while? He later added, I'm just over it. We made a documentary. Everyone can watch it. And now from this day forward, if anybody asks that question in the press, it's like the end of the interview. So if you want to see anything about hating Nickelback, you can go check out this documentary. You can help these guys make some money while you're trying to talk about hating on a man. But Nickelback guitarist Ryan Peake added that the documentary was a way for the band to take control of the joke. We get to take the narrative, he said. We get to actually tell our version. It's like you turn the cheek as much as you can. And then at some point it's like, okay, here's our take on it, man. So, yeah, there's actually a trailer here for, maybe I'll share it on our page. But there's a trailer for this Hate to Love Nickelback documentary. That's pretty cool, man. Good for them. Good for them taking care, taking control and maybe kind of like spinning it in a fun way. And hey, it's making them money, obviously. So props to Nickelback, man. If they can put out a song that I can get behind, I'll support them. You know what I mean? I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to go out of my way to listen to Nickelback. I feel like a lot of their early stuff was the good stuff, which I guess you could say that about most bands. But anyways, Nickelback, cool. Good for them. Check out their documentary, whatever. All right, last bit of news I want to talk about, just because it's fucking weird, man. This band is a mess. They're a puddle of a mess. They're like mud. Can you see where I'm going with this, man? Puddle of mud is the last article I want to bring up, because for one, I didn't know this band was still touring, and apparently they're not, because they just canceled a whole bunch of shows. I didn't know that they were doing anything. I had no... whatever. Not my cup of tea. This guy has had his issues. This Wes Scantlin guy, he's kind of been like a canker sore on the world of rock music, on the foot of rock and roll. He is like the Bunyan, I guess. Dude wrote some hits, man. Props to him. He wrote some hits back in the day, but his life has really taken a turn. But anyways, Puddle of Muzz, Wes Scantlin says he never agreed to the band's upcoming shows. And the reason that he came out and said this, Puddle of Mud frontman found themselves in the headlines yesterday as they were banned from the Machine Shop, a venue in Flint, Michigan. The Machine Shop, claimed that Puddle of Mud had quietly scrapped their upcoming tour and that the cancellation was 100% due to Wes Scantlin. Puddle of Mud had canceled all their upcoming concerts, including the shows September 15th and 16th at the Machine Shop, wrote the venue. It is not due to circumstances beyond our control cancellation. This is 100% Wes, the Machine Shop, his band, and everyone involved are very disappointed. We will not be postponing the shows as we are not ever rescheduling Puddle of Mud. All tickets purchased through eTix will be automatically refunded. Scantlin himself has now issued his own statement on the matter, saying that Puddle of Mud's upcoming shows were booked without its consent. So, perfect. Good, man. Pass the blame off on somebody else. Just sweep it under the rug and say the mess was made by somebody else. But according to him, Puddle of Mud's upcoming shows were booked without his consent. Scantlin further adds that he'll be taking this time to regroup and make necessary changes. I would like to take a moment to address recent developments regarding upcoming Puddle of Mud shows. I believe it's important to provide my perspective on the matter. Dude, look, at this point, you are like Bam Margera, dude. I feel like you've been given so many chances and so many opportunities, and they just keep getting messed up. So I don't even know if people would care if you would like to clarify anything. I don't know if people care. It is what it is. At least when Godsmack had to cancel their things because of low ticket sales, that's not the band's fault. This is like 100% this guy's fault. I mean, I don't even know what to say on the matter. I saw them a long time ago. I think they were a part of a rock festival that was here in Charleston, and I didn't go there to see them. I was there to see other bands. I think Seven Dust was one of them, but it's a sad story. I kind of wish it would just go away already. Like, maybe he can kind of just take the hint. You know what, people? Instead of focusing all your hate towards Nickelback, why don't we go ahead and focus some of this negative energy towards Puddle of Mud? Because this dude, This dude's a mess, man. So, but I mean, I guess spreading everything. I don't know. Anyways, Puddle of Mud. They don't tour again. Oh, well, it's not a big loss. You know, I apologize for anybody that's fans of them. They had a couple good songs back in the day, but it is what it is. Puddle of Mud is a joke of a band. I mean, their singer is just kind of like, I don't even know what it is. I don't want to end the show on a downer note. Props to Alex Van Halen. Props to Nickelback. I got a cajon, so props to me. And we're going to be wrapping up the show this week with a new segment that I call Drummer's Joke of the Week, or whenever I get a chance to record. Hey, why don't you go ahead and put that on a t-shirt, Zach? Why don't we go ahead and put that on a t-shirt? Drummer's Joke of the Week, or whenever I get a chance to record. And starting off the segment, we're going to go with a classic one. So bear with me here. How would a drummer address his daughters? And a one, and a two. Ha-ha! There it is, folks. That'll do for this week's show. Appreciate all of you guys for tuning in and hanging out. I hope you all have an absolutely killer week. And until next time, stay safe, stay metal. See ya. That's the show for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Hey, be a friend, tell a friend. Please like and share this and join us over at the Thrill Me Podcast Network on Facebook and YouTube. Be sure to check out Honor's Podcast, The Review at Rob Show, The Mr. Wonderful Show, and Zach's Speakeasy as well. This incredible lineup is brought to you by the Thrill Me Podcast Network. And hey, until next time, stay metal.